Heavenly Father, come before you today to worship you, but also to hear from your word, that your word may not just settle in our heads, but reach down into the depths of our hearts where it will grow and bear fruit for your glory and for our good. Lord, help us to look at this sermon series as we look to the relationships with those around us and to see the similarities, because you are the creator of relationships. Help us to understand, Lord, that our communication with others is important, and so is our communication with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Time to get down to work here. Take the jacket off. This morning, we're going to be looking at communication. How many of you think that communication is an important part of a healthy relationship? Anybody? Only a couple of you? Mostly women put their hands up there. What's wrong with you guys? Come on, how long have you been married, huh?
We veg out.
You veg out? Okay, all right. Communication is vitally important to any relationship. And that is why it is also vitally important when it comes to your relationship with Jesus. But to communicate, you don't just have to speak. You also have to listen, and you also have to understand. This didn't happen to a poor cowboy in Texas. He was found sprawled across three entire seats in a posh Amarillo theater. This isn't where you went. Was it Amarillo? No. When the usher came by and noticed this, he whispered to the cowboy, "Sorry, sir, but you're only allowed one seat." The cowboy groaned, but didn't budge. The usher became more impatient. "Sir, if you don't get up from there, I'm going to have to call the manager." Once again, the cowboy just groaned. The usher, realizing that he was dealing with an impaired individual, marched briskly back up the aisle. In a moment, he returned with the manager. Together, the two of them tried to repeatedly move the cowboy, but with no success. Finally, without any other options, they called the police. The Texas Ranger surveyed the situation briefly, then asked, "All right, buddy, what's your name?" "Fred," the cowboy moaned. "Where are you from, Fred?" asked the Ranger. With terrible pain in his voice and slowly pointing towards the ceiling, Fred replied, "The balcony." Thank you, I like that. This just goes to show that effective communication is essential in certain situations. But you know what? Communication with God is essential in every circumstance. And we call that communication prayer. But prayer is so much more than just communication. It may look like communication, but there is so much power, so much life-changing ability, so many amazing things associated with prayer, that prayer is on a level all on its own. But it is basically just communication between you and God. Prayer can be frustrating at times as we wait for the answers to our prayers. Prayer can also be very exciting as we listen for the Lord to speak to us and to direct us, comfort us or strengthen us, and give us all that we need to carry on. The Lord gave us prayer, and He made it so, so simple to do. But many people still struggle to do it. In fact, there are those who think that only pastors can do it well. I've had people who don't really have a strong relationship with Jesus say, "Please pray for me. Say a little prayer for me and maybe God will listen." I do pray, but I always tell them the Lord will listen just as much to them as to me. Many people need to hear from God for whatever is going on in their lives. They need to speak with God and draw closer to Him in prayer. Even people who don't know Jesus or atheists who refuse to believe in Him need this as well, because we are all born with that need. For us here this morning, prayer or communicating with the Lord should be second nature, because we should all desire God's will for our lives. You know, we understand a lot of what God's will is through His Word, the Bible. But very specific things will only come as we spend time in prayer. God communicates with you, and He reveals His will to you in prayer. So communicating with the Lord, you talking to Him, and Him talking to you, is vitally important for all of us. And we can learn a lot about communicating with the Lord by looking at how communication works with the other relationships that we have. Communication is a huge part of any close relationship. At least the ladies thought so here this morning. And it really determines the environment of every relationship. You know, if you show me a relationship where communication is bad or if it's lacking, and I'll show you a chilly environment in that relationship. I'll also show you a high level of frustration and maybe even some anger and resentment. But show me a relationship where the partners are skilled communicators, and I'll show you a relationship where there is warmth, there is peace, connection, understanding, and a true sense of companionship. If you are struggling with or in any relationship in the present moment, if one of the relationships of your life isn't as good as it should be, I am willing to bet that whatever else may be the problem, there is a problem, a big problem, with communication. In premarital counseling classes, a pastor and a young couple or a new couple usually look at 12 different topics, and an assessment is done to look for compatibility or the lack of compatibility. One of these dimensions, as you've probably guessed, is communication. If a couple scores low in several areas, that's not usually a big deal. But if one of those areas is communication, there's usually a problem waiting for them at some point in their life together. That's because they won't be able to resolve any of the other issues in their life if they can't or won't communicate. That's why communication determines the environment of every single relationship that you have. Since communication determines the environment of every relationship, and because a relationship with God, even though it may be other things, is still a relationship, we can say that communication determines the environment of our relationship with God. And that's why prayer is vitally important to the relationship between you and Jesus. I feel very sad at times as a pastor when people say that they do not feel connected to God, that they don't feel close to Jesus. It's sad because it's not God's fault. It's not God's will that they ever feel this way. So why do they feel this way? Well, when asked about their prayer life, you realize that they don't really have one, or it completely lacks consistency, or they don't fully understand prayer at all. They can devote many hours a day working, hours and hours every week watching TV, going to sports events, or even being busy with things at church, but they don't make the effort to spend alone time with the Lord. And so they miss out on the blessings of the greatest relationship anyone could ever have, a close and intimate relationship with Jesus. It all begins. Our relationship begins when we seriously ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. But then it takes work, as any relationship does, to grow and develop and mature that relationship. And a lot of that work involves communication. Prayer is between you Jesus. If you aren't born again, then the Bible won't mean much. It'll just be words on a page that is hard to understand. And prayer won't mean much either. You'll just feel that you're getting nowhere because there is no relationship. A few months back, I wrote a letter to Justin Trudeau. I had some things that I felt he needed to hear that I wanted to say. I communicated with him. Did I get a response? No. Did I feel that I was getting anywhere with him at all? Absolutely not. That's because I don't have any type of relationship with him. But what if Sophie, his wife, communicated the same things to him? I think that he'd probably listen then, because she has a relationship with him. He knows her. He loves her, at least I hope. He trusts her heart and her intuition. She won't let go until she's heard. It's simply a fact that you listen to those you know on a totally different level than those you don't know. God says that that is the way it is with him too. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Wow. Remember, we're talking about relationships here. God wants us to know him. God wants a relationship. And within the context of a relationship, God will be extremely responsive to our prayers. He will listen to us. Because Jesus also said in Matthew 7, "Which of you, if his son or daughter asks for bread, will give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, will give them a snake? If you then, though evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" You know, communication is the environment for every relationship. I think I've said that before. Maybe something for the group on Tuesday to write that down. Communication is the environment for every relationship. But we also have to remember that relationship is the context for communication. I communicate with most of you because we know each other through church, right? Church is our relationship context. Communication that occurs outside of some kind of context, like my letter to the Prime Minister, will not likely accomplish very much. So non-believers face the challenge of asking themselves, if I want to be able to communicate with God, am I actually willing to maintain an ongoing relationship with him, where communication can actually have some impact? And Christians must ask themselves all the time, if I'm already living in this relationship, then why is communicating with God not more important to me than it is? What I've noticed many times over the years is that many people think that communication with God is all about getting something that they need, instead of being used to maintain and develop their relationship with him. Our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. It should be the most important thing of all of our lives, because everything else is going to pass away, but our relationship with Jesus never will. And it is that relationship with Jesus that provides the context where prayer can be effective and powerful. Those who pray and pray have a very close relationship to Jesus. And in turn, their prayers are very effective and powerful. That's why we all need to dedicate ourselves to prayer, whether we feel like it or not. So I encourage you and myself, turn off the TV and spend some time with Jesus. Maybe you can relate to what I'm trying to say this way. The man who tells his wife he loves her only on their wedding day and expects that to be sufficient is in for a rude awakening. You think? Yeah? That's really it is with the person who prays to God in a moment of trouble or difficulty and expects that to be sufficient. They will be in for a rude awakening as well. The woman who gets so busy with life that she only pays attention to her husband on the weekends will probably find that he's so frustrated by Saturday that meaningful communication isn't even possible. In the same way, the person who turns to God only a few times a week will find that their relationship with Jesus is sorely lacking. They will feel that the Lord is so very far away and not listening. He is, but your relationship with Him is not close. The Bible tells us that when we draw close to God, He will draw close to us. Another one of those event principles of the Bible. I think that it's safe to say that the closer that you want a relationship with someone else to be, then the more often and the more deeply you must communicate with that person. Anyone agree with me? This is true with human beings. It's true with God as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, "Always be joyful." It says, "Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Hopefully you understand how important communication or prayer is when it comes to you and Jesus. But as you know, there's different kinds of communication. We communicate verbally, but most of our communication is done non-verbally. In fact, they say that our words only account for about 10% of our communication. That means if you add up my body language, the sermons would be like 10 hours long. So the 90% of what we communicate is nonverbal. In other words, most of our communication comes through what we do. You know, the faces that we make and the strange things that we do with our eyes, our body language. If that is true with our human relationships, it's also true when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. But I'm going to leave you hanging for a minute, because I think that it is important first to look at how God communicates with us. As you know, God communicates with us verbally through His Word, the Bible. He communicated with us verbally when He entered this world as Jesus. He has communicated with us verbally in the messages of preachers and prophets. Sometimes He even communicates verbally by impressing certain words into our minds. Most people don't hear audible words out loud. Some do. But either way, God is still communicating with us verbally, because God has used words. But what about nonverbal communication? How does the Lord communicate to us that way? Well, first, there is creation itself. Romans 1:19 to 20 says, "The people in this world know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." What other nonverbal forms of communication has God used to connect with us? Perhaps there is no greater nonverbal symbol of God's love than the birth of Jesus in that quiet stable, or the suffering and death of Jesus described beautifully 700 years before it happened by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53:7, where it says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not even open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so He did not even open His mouth." If you are attentive to the Lord, then I believe that you will come to a place where you can see the Lord communicating to you through your circumstances, things others might call coincidence, in your emotions and in the way other people react to you. In these ways, God is also speaking. And we speak to Him from our hearts without words. At times you will pray silently, thinking the words to yourself. There'll be times when you will communicate with the Lord simply by learning to sit in His presence. You know, it's really important to do that, to discipline yourself to sit in the silence, in the presence of the Lord, to cast all distractions aside and focus not on words, but simply on the presence of Jesus. That is nonverbal. And another way to communicate with the Lord without words is through obedience or disobedience. 1 John 2, 3-6 says, "We can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. If someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. There is no greater form of communication with the Lord than to do what He has told us to do, and to fashion our lives according to His will. Remember, we're talking about relationships here. And this passage starts with the words, "We can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments." In other words, if there's people who do not do what God has said, then they don't even know Him. When we obey God, we show that we have heard what He has said to us, both verbally and non-verbally. This is what it means to know God. If communication is 10% verbal and 90% non-verbal, then what are we truly saying to God when we ask Him for things over and over again? Yet by our actions we show over and over again that we do not know Him and do not love Him. If someone told you that they love you, but then constantly and willfully did things that hurt and offended you, would you believe that they loved you? I don't think so. It's the same with God. He knows that people who do not live obediently do not love Him, because despite what they may say with their mouths, they do things that constantly and willfully hurt and offend Him. This really shows that they do not really love Him. And if they do not love Him, then there is no relationship there, not by His choice, but by theirs. If there is no relationship, then God does not know them. And on that day, Jesus will say those terrible, terrible words, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer." Evil? Why? People ask God. Because despite the 10% you say you love me, 90% of the time you live your life in such a way that shows that you do not love me. Regard me, know me, or respect me, we have no relationship. If you know me, you will do what I have asked you to do. You know, this is another example of where people regularly suspend all rules of basic communication and act completely differently toward God than they would act in any other relationship in their lives. We say we're all God's children. God loves all of us. Well, that's true in a sense. But God does not have a relationship with all of us. And that's not God's choice. It's ours. It's our choice whether or not to live in a relationship with Him. We may be the best verbal prayers in the world, but what do our lives communicate to God? What are we saying by the ways that we live? Those are very serious questions we all have to ask ourselves before it's too late. There's one more area of communication that I think that we should look at, and that is misunderstandings. Remember the cowboy from Texas? In every relationship, no matter how close it is, misunderstandings are common. And in marriage, men and women speak different languages. Have you ever found that? And despite how much they love each other, sometimes they simply do not understand one another. Ever been there? I've been there a couple times. But you know what? Sometimes it's the same between you and Jesus. Sometimes somebody will do something believing it to be God's will, believing God spoke to them and told them to do something, but then it turns out to be a complete disaster. It implodes around them, and they end up right back where they started, maybe even in a worse place. And they say, "I was positive God told me to do this, but it didn't work out. What's going on?" Well, sometimes we simply misunderstand. Look at married couples again. They can stand face to face, talking to each other out loud, in the same room, and they can misunderstand each other. Sometimes we misunderstand God and what we think He is saying to us. But we shouldn't use these experiences to stop trying. In fact, these experiences should spur us on to try even harder. The truth is that the longer we know someone, the less likely it is to misunderstand them, probably because we are learning from our mistakes. But as we spend time with the Lord, our misunderstanding of Him will become less and less, because we will understand His ways more and more. Isaiah 55:8 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways," says the Lord. It is difficult at times to figure out God's ways and thoughts. But there is hope for the person who pursues a relationship with Jesus. Because in 1 Corinthians 2:16 we are told, followers of Jesus have the mind of Christ. In the natural, we have no clue what God's will is or what God's thoughts are. But when we are born again, we receive His Spirit to help guide us and lead us the way that we should go. And His Spirit gradually shows us God's mind and God's heart, so that we can come to understand the Lord with greater and greater accuracy. After all, Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." When you first met your husband, wife, fiance, boyfriend, or girlfriend, you probably didn't recognize their voice from anyone else's. But after a while, you got to where you instantly knew that it was them on the phone, just by the sound of their voice. Then you got to the place where that voice brought you comfort and joy. And that's the way it is, or should be, between you and Jesus. At first, you will not know His voice when you communicate with Him. But after a while, you will start to recognize that still, small voice. As time goes by, as you spend talking and listening to Jesus, you'll get better at hearing what the Lord has to say. And His voice will bring you peace, just like when sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. I hope that through this teaching that you will look at the relationship between you and Jesus in a slightly different way, by looking at it through the lens of your relationships with others. You all know how important communication is with those around you. And hopefully today you will understand a little better how important prayer is to your relationship with Jesus. It will take discipline. It will take work, at least at first. Because I'm not talking about 5-minute prayers here. I'm talking about relationship building, life-changing time spent with Jesus. When you make a commitment or recommitment to develop your relationship with the Lord, and as you spend more and more time with the Lord in prayer, you'll come to understand that this is exactly the place where you need to be all the time. A place that gives you the constant awareness of the presence of the Lord. A place where it's just you and Jesus.